Y'all take as long as you want. I'm not cutting the sermon down. I got all day. So, does somebody want to share a broken promise? No? Surely somebody's willing to tell about a time that somebody let you down?
The Razorbacks were supposed to win.
And how did that make you feel?
I can't relay that in church.
Well, I suspect almost all of us have experienced that at one time or another. When somebody felt like we feel like they let us down. And I suspect when that happens, a range of emotions might go through your heart, disappointed, heartbroken, angry, and upset when somebody has let you down. I can't help but wonder if perhaps that's how God feels when we break our promises to God, when we break our covenant. And if perhaps in those situations where we've had our heart broken, if we would wonder why we would ever trust anyone again, wonder why God would be willing to be in covenant with us. And perhaps this is the way that God felt when the Israelites broke the covenant that they made with God over and over and over again. But after all, take a look at humankind's history with a covenant with God. It's a little poor, as we've broken it a number of times. Now, the covenant, the idea of a covenant, goes back thousands and thousands of years. Originally, it started out as a powerful nation or a powerful person making an agreement with somebody that didn't have quite as much power. The more powerful person would agree to protection or some type of service for the person who didn't have as much power. And then the weaker person would in return provide perhaps some type of servitude was pretty common for that, when they would come together and make an agreement, a covenant with one another. The difference when we make a covenant with God is that difference is absolute, because God is the absolute power in our lives and in our universe. The idea of a biblical covenant goes back all the way to Genesis. Preacher without his Bible. It's a new one, and I'm flipping and can't find anything in it. I think they moved the books around. But the first covenant that, or the most common covenant that we know of, is the one in Genesis where God is talking to Abraham and is offering the people the land of Canaan. So now, if you faithfully obey me and stay true to my covenant, you will be my most precious possession out of all the people, since the whole earth belongs to me. You will be a kingdom of priests for me and a holy nation. These are the words you should say to the Israelites. What beautiful words from Genesis. When I said Abraham, but this is actually Moses. And when they have been in the desert for 40 years or so since Moses refused to stop and ask directions, but he had gone to Mount Sinai and was praying there at the foot of the mountain, Mount Horeb in the Hebrew. And when God called him up to the top of the mountain, and when he got there, God offered this covenant that we just read to the people of Israel. Moses went back down the mountain, told them what God had offered to all of them, and they responded in verse 8. The people all responded with one voice. Everything that the Lord has said, we will do. So Moses turned around, went back up the mountain to tell God what they had said, and spent 40 days and 40 nights, which in the Bible means a good long period of time. And God sent Moses back down the mountain carrying those 10 commandments as the seal of the covenant that they had made with God. And by the time Moses got back down there, the people had already melted down their gold and made a golden calf and were worshiping it and had already forgotten the covenant they had made with God, and in the process broken all three of the first three of the Ten Commandments as well. So there are many examples like that in the Bible of where that covenant, the agreements with God, have been broken. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, a perfect place to live. And all God asked of them was to not eat from the tree of knowledge, and they couldn't resist. When the world became full of sin, God sent the floods to wipe the sin away, and he sent Noah to protect and to carry mankind and the animals forward through the world. And they made this new covenant with God, and it was hardly any time at all before the people were going out and building this Tower of Babel so that they could reach all the way to heaven and prove that they didn't need God. Time again, covenants have been broken. But if you pay close attention to all of the stories here in the Old Testament, what you will see is that God remains true, God remains faithful. God fulfills these covenants despite what all the people might do. God is faithful. But I'm afraid we continue to break those covenants, some of them even yet today. We break them even though perhaps we don't really even understand what a covenant might be. Now, I spent a long time in the business world. I've seen a lot of different contracts, and that's what a covenant sounds a little bit like to me, is a contract between two different parties where one, the party of the first part, would make an agreement to do this if the party of the second part would do that. I saw a lot of those in my career and got pretty good at negotiating them. But they didn't always work out. I remember one in particular. My last job in corporate America was working with small businesses and minority-owned businesses and trying to help them grow and to be able to do business in a large corporate world. And you may know that if you do better, the federal government is required to do business with these small businesses. And that was part of my role. I would go to our customers that were governmental or did business with the government, help them find small businesses that they could do business with. I remember one in particular when I went to the federal government, the military, in fact, and helped them find a small business that they could take care of, that they could fit into what their procurement processes were. I went back to the small business and told them that they could go over here and do business with the military. If they would do A, B, and C, then they would be able to grow their business substantially by this contract. When I went back over here to the government, they agreed but neglected to tell the people that actually did the purchasing. So they never bought anything from the small business, which was just as well because it turned out the small business never did A, B, or C. Story of my life. But that's what a covenant sounds a little bit like to me. If the party of the first part, God, will do X, and then the party of the second part, you and me, should do Y. But that's not what a covenant with God is. That's how a contract works. The difference is, between a contract and a covenant is. Covenant is not about you. Covenant is not about us. It's about the grace of God. When God offers this covenant to us to bring us in and to be a part of living close to God, the grace of God is available to all of us for free of charge, with no requirement that we do anything else. But the people continue, even today, to break this covenant over and over again. So much so that we read in Jeremiah today that God actually offered a new covenant to the people. Some beautiful words from Jeremiah 31. But you have to understand a little bit about the book of Jeremiah. There are 51 chapters in this particular book. 47 of them carry bad news. Jeremiah predicted the fall of the temple and the people and on all the bad things. But in this particular chapter, chapter 31, he brings wonderful news to the people. Hear these words from verse 31. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their husband, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on my heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins." Never again remember their sins. This new covenant that Jeremiah foretold came to us in the form of a tiny child, a child that we celebrated the birth just this past week, that Christ came for us, the forgiveness of our sins over and over and over. The difference with this covenant, the difference between this covenant and a contract is that this covenant is an intensely personal relationship between each one of us and our God. Doesn't matter what race, what gender, what creed, nor anything else. Christ loves us. We are forgiven. No matter all of our brokenness and the promises that we never kept. This good news is brought out to us in Hebrews 9:15. This is why he's the mediator of the new covenant. "So that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance on the basis of his death." His death occurred to set them free from the offenses committed under the first covenant. He tells us that Christ came to die for us, and that is the good news for all of us here today. That's why we are celebrating this new covenant. So much so that our senior pastor, Marty Verschel, once said about this very special day, "Under the new covenant, the emphasis is on God's gracious gift of salvation. Salvation was no longer a matter of a person changing their behavior to conform to God. Now salvation was just a matter of letting God change their hearts and as a result, their behavior." So you see, that new covenant is the saving grace, the saving work of Jesus Christ through the grace of God. And the response of us as Christians, the response that we make in our profession of faith and by our baptism, the understanding of the covenant is something that came down to us from John Wesley and has been very important in United Methodism for years and years and years. by entering into and committing oneself to this relationship with God. Christians see themselves as a people of the covenant. Now, Wesley adapted this prayer. It's not an original work by him, but he handed it down to us as an opportunity to renew our commitments with God, renew our commitment to this covenant. And that's what this covenant prayer is all about. In just a few minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to pledge to God your fealty. Let me read those words to you that you'll hear in a moment. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself up to your will in all things. It's pretty strong words. I will give myself up to your will in all things. You see, when we say that, then we begin on a spiritual journey. A journey toward Christ, a journey toward perfection. For some, it's a short trip. For some, like me, it's a long, arduous trip. But there's a couple of steps we make in that trip. The first one, I think, is from want to be. When we first find out about God, when we first begin to love God, we want to be better Christians. We want to trust God. We want to do God's will. And over time, as we want to become closer to God, we get to the part where we be like God. We understand what it means for us to make this journey, and what we are and what we become is what we are meant to be within God's will. When Jeremiah wrote those words, I will write my laws upon their hearts and in their minds. Well, maybe that's what this Wesley prayer is trying to sum up for us today. That as we make this commitment to God, we are accepting these words to be written on our hearts, to trust in God, and to trust God's will for all of us. Would you stand as we repeat this covenant together, please? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. You may be seated. Let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.